Well, good morning. Welcome back to the God School. For so many years now, we have been attempting to describe the Christian life, that is, a life of faith. That is a life that is dependent upon and acting upon the promises of God. Now, this life of faith begins with he who's called the father of faith. In the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, speaking of Abraham, it says, what shall we say then, that Abraham, our father in the faith, as pertaining to the flesh has found? For if Abraham, and I'm going to give you the more proper translation, if Abraham were righteousified by works, he has whereof to boast, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham faithed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. This is not an exegete on the fourth chapter of Romans. We're going somewhere. Hang in here with me. And my recommendation is that, strong recommendation is that you expose yourself to this fourth chapter of the book of Romans. But I've got other purposes in mind today. But if we go down to the 21st verse of that fourth chapter, it says, and being fully persuaded, this is a faith word, folks, that what he, that is God, had promised, he, that is God, was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him, that is Abraham, for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake, that is Abraham's sake alone, that it was imputed to Abraham, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we faith on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Who is that? It is God. Every account of the resurrection in the New Testament says, whom God raised up, whom the Father raised up. Folks, we're talking miracle. That is God's intrusion into this life. And part of that intrusion talks of the imputation of righteousness for faith. That's the gospel, folks. The righteous, Romans 1:17 says, the righteous shall live by faith. Christianity starts with a miracle. God raised Jesus from the dead. I love the picture on our homepage of Christ coming through the rock. It wasn't moved so he could get out. He came through. Molecular displacement is nothing to God, our Father. And Christianity tells us that for faith, God puts in us a piece of himself. When God first spoke of man, he said, "Let us make man in our image." And the New Testament describes that imputation, that is, we have an earnest of the Spirit, that is, a part payment. We ain't in heaven yet, where the payment shall be full, shall be complete, shall be perfected. For now, we have the earnest of the Spirit, part payment, and we have God's Word. And being fully persuaded what he had promised, excuse me, what God had promised, God was able to perform. And it wasn't for Abraham's sake alone, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we faith on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses. Paul doesn't waste time categorizing the word in the New Testament for sin as hamartia. It means to fall short. And from one short fallen one to another, I'm here today in an attempt to encourage you to continue in this life of faith, which is acting on the promises of God. Paul says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our, King James says, justification, being made just like God. Therefore, fifth chapter opens, being righteousified by faith, we have peace with God. That is, we are set together again with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace, unmerited favor, wherein we stand. We stand in grace. We stand by faith into this grace and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The apostle said, we beheld his glory The glory of God is Jesus Christ. It says, and rejoice in hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. For if we see that which we hope for, it's no longer hope. If God, should so deem to complete a promise that he has made here on earth, you better start looking for another one. Because there's a passage here in the New Testament which says, we're saved by hope. It's faith, hope, and love. And these three abide. It says, by Jesus also we have access by faith into this unmerited favor wherein we stand and rejoice. We could say boast and boast in hope of the boast of God. You boasting of yourself or you boasting of God? We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and he be the subject and God our Father be the subject of our boasting for what he has done, for what he is doing, for what he will do. Paul goes on to say, and not only so, he says, but we boast in tribulations. Tribulum. He says, we boast in tribulations, knowing you know, as we gain knowledge of God, who has revealed himself in this which we call the Bible, it says, so we boast in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh endurance. Better translation. And endurance, experience, that is triedness. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. So, into this context, I want to come today again. According to my Bible, I haven't taught on this since for almost 3 years, since 2016. I'm grateful for it. I need it. And my hope is that it may come home to you of this congregation who need it also. And if you don't need it, you will need it. Because as we taught last week, many out of Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Open your Bibles to Psalm 118. We're going to go through this quickly. I'm trying to make the message effective and succinct. And it says, Psalm 118 opens and it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." Said, let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron, that is the priests, now say that his mercy endures forever. Le'olam is that Hebrew word translated forever. It means into the eternities. And contrary to the popular Christian message today that, you know, we have heaven here on earth, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And we don't put our hope in things that are seen, but in things that are unseen, because they are eternal. I'm talking today to citizens of eternity. Fourth verse says, let them now. Now means now. Today. Let them now that fear the Lord. And I've taught you this. It's not a trembling condition, but one of reverence and respect. One who desires to please. And the New Testament tells us in the 6th chapter of Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The psalmist goes on to say, I called upon the Lord in distress. I called upon the Lord out of distress. I called upon the Lord in a tight place, in a restricted place. You ever felt in a tight place? You ever felt in a restricted place? Do as the psalmist says and call upon the Lord. He goes on to say, and the Lord answered me and did set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. Alternative translation is, the Lord is for me. What? A sinner like me? The whole context is, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If you don't have any sins, I got nothing to say to you. I'm talking to people who are looking to God our Father, of whom it is exclaimed 4 times in the first 4 verses that his mercy endureth forever. 6th verse, continuing on. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What man can do unto me? That's repeated in the 13th chapter. I think it might be the 6th verse of Paul's wonderful letter to the Hebrews. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. And personal note, those of you who heard of a need I had, of a perceived need that I have and have participated, I want to tell you and to thank you and to tell you, the Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire upon them that hate me. Here's the center verse of the whole Bible, folks. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to run for shelter to the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in our very existence. I don't care what you see. God's word created it all. He spoke and nothing became everything. Therefore, this man claims, and I agree, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. That is generous people. That is magnanimous people. That is men who seem to be somewhat now, having made these wonderful declarations of God of his mercy enduring into eternity, of he that is the Lord, that is God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ being for us, and that he takes the part of people who help us, and centering our trust, our faith, our hope on God, the psalmist goes on. Now, what's the result? Psalm 116, verse 10 says, I faith, therefore I have spoken. Here's the experience of the psalmist in Psalm 118. probably the same writer. I faith. The literal in the Hebrew is I amend. Therefore, I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Okay, so now we have the psalmist in 118 who's making declarations with the mouth. What's his testimony? All nations compass me about. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They compass me about. Yea, they compass me about. But in the name of the Lord, I'll destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. What confidence this psalmist has, we should have in God who is for us. Verse 13 says, thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall. Who's the thou? This is our number one adversary, the devil. He hates those that God, that having been found in a tight place in his world, where he controls, have escaped by the grace and mercy of God into that large place. A place without restrictions. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall. But the Lord, help me. That's the name of Jesus Christ, God, our helper. The Lord, the psalmist proclaims, as Moses proclaimed, as Isaiah proclaims. The Lord is my strength and song and is become my salvation, the voice of rejoicing. And salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. That's describing you and I, in whom, for faith, God has put his spirit. We are the tabernacle. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is being renewed day by day, and therefore, in us is this voice of rejoicing, of boasting, if you will. It goes on to say, the right hand of the Lord, Jesus, doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live. And declare the works of the Lord. Don't think tribulation is a strange thing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore, but he has not given me. He has not given you, if you're hearing this, he has not given you over to death. We have this hope. We are encouraged. We are trusting in the Lord, who has not only given us forewarning of what the Christian life is like, but what the response to the afflictions of the righteous should be. Paul says, we boast in tribulation. And by God's grace, we shall go through these tribulations, that the hope of God shall continue, and we have this by the experience which gives us the hope. We made it through other times. We're going to make it through this time also. And that hope makes us not ashamed. And that's the God School for today.